The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Signal Hour. I'm Evie Martinson, and I'm here with Chris Martinson.
Hey, everybody, and we're here together. Look, it's Sunday, and
we wanted to spend a little bit of it with you.
Well, honestly, things are stacking up so fast. Things are breaking so quickly now. Elon doesn't sleep.
I don't think
Trump
he does.
Doesn't sleep. I'm How does sure he do that human. At 78 years of age? Does he?
I don't know.
You know?
I hope I'm like that when I get to be a little bit older. I hope I have that kind of energy.
Yeah.
So how are you? How's everybody doing? What are you doing on this Sunday? Is it snowing where you are?
Well, we're in the middle of a big snowstorm, so great. It's a perfect day to be in the studio. Hello to everybody from Absurdistan. I see Macronistan, all the other stands there. Hello from Las Vegas. Good to see you there, Renee. We got Australia coming in.
Nice.
Macronistan. Well, oh my goodness, there is so much to talk about. This is getting, it's very exciting. You can see the glee on my face, right? So can I just say this?
Yeah, go for it. If not now, when?
I am so relieved at the tank shell we dodged. And I think the world, I think Europe too. So
This last election.
That we're going to talk about today, Fort Knox being audited.
I can't believe that's actually going to happen.
Doge updates, because they're daily now. RFK Jr. getting confirmed is a big deal. And then, oh, I forgot to write it down, but also that J.D. Vance speech in
That was amazing.
That was the bomb.
That was incredible. I don't know if anyone here has been able to listen to that, but if you haven't, it's worth a hear. It's really great.
Yeah.
He just blew people out of the water, and he's carrying on essentially what's happening here in the U.S. He's inviting other people to take a look at the corruption in their own countries. And of course, they didn't like that one little bit. So.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So it's spreading whatever this is, this truth and light and bringing things out of the darkness.
Yep. So, hey, Tom, good to see you. And Akido, hey, good to see you, Texas.
Hello.
And thank you for the shout out there. We are in a snowstorm, family day weekend as well. So you must be somewhere in our district,
hey,
I'm
Lori.
Guessing. Travis, of course, also, we know, and he's
oh,
in our
I love
region.
Travis.
Yes.
He's been with us a long time.
Great, great guy. Hello to the UK and from the UK. Good to see you here. And
Jeff and Robin.
North Carolina.
Non-human intelligence. There's so many names.
Yeah.
It's hard to welcome everybody, but we are grateful you're here with us.
Yeah. And where was that other one? Because there was one. Yeah. And of course, hello to you Californians as well.
Oh, that's bad. That's great, though.
Newscomstan.
So what do you got today, Mr. Martinson? Where do you need to go with this?
Let's do this. So first thing out of the gate, this is such big news. So listen, if you haven't been, I've been following the gold market for 20 plus years, right? And I mean, by following it, Evie, how closely do I follow this market?
I mean, you sort of pay attention every now and then.
How many times a day?
I don't know. You refresh that page about once every 30 seconds.
But I know how the market trades. I understand all of this stuff. I can give you the whole history. Anytime you got like a few days, right? We'll start with the London Gold Pool in 68. Actually, the Bretton Woods Agreement of 44. We have to talk about August 15th, 1971, which is when we came off the gold standard, which is a big deal. Really big deal. Everything kind of springs from that. That was kind of, I think, the ultimate betrayal right there, because we came off of sound money into what we would call unsound money. And of course, there's been this fiction for a long time that's been perpetuated that, well, the United States government has 261 million ounces of gold principally stored at Fort Knox. That's the nation's gold, right? Okay. So just a couple days ago, on February 15th, Zero Hedge tweeted out and said, it would be great if Elon Musk could take a look inside Fort Knox just to make sure the 4,580 tons of U.S. gold is there. Last time anyone looked was 50 years ago in 1974.
That's unbelievable to me.
isn't that?
I mean, how is it? I guess they just normalized us being some norm where it's like, oh yeah, we don't look at that, and we just don't ask those kind of questions.
Oh no, that's
couldn't possibly.
That's the government's goal. No.
That's ours. That's a taxpayer's. That's yours and mine and Chris's.
It's public. It's public. What's that? What's that old quote? I think it's Thomas Jefferson. It could have been, I forget. One of the founding types. I'll have to look it up. Who said, "When people fear the government, it's tyranny.
Right.
But when the government fears the people, it's freedom."
Mm-hmm.
We're just about to undo lots of tyranny, and you know the amount of tyranny, Evie, that has to be in place for the government to be able to get away with saying for 50 years, like, trust us, bro, we're not going to show you your own gold. They did, like,
said nobody ever.
Like, and by the way,
no banks would do that
ever. Here's the rule. This is ironclad rule.
All right.
If humans are allowed to get away with something and they're unaudited, they will cheat. Mm. Like, if you had like an accounting department in your business and mm-hmm. you didn't have some form of oversight or auditing of that, mm-hmm. and somebody was just cutting checks and they were never checked up on,
mm-hmm.
100% guarantee there comes a moment in their life where they start cheating you,
mm-hmm.
right? It's something, right? Kid needs braces. My husband got sick.
Yeah, and like, oh,
I'll
they
just
don't
take a
need
few
this.
Bucks today.
They're not going to miss
they
it.
They don't need it.
Yeah.
Whatever. There's always a rationalization story. What's that other saying? Humans aren't rational. We're rationalizers.
Hmm. Hmm. I like that.
Trust me. Somebody somewhere along the way rationalized spiriting off some of that gold. 100%.
Sure seems like it.
But get this. So Zero Hedge tweets that out. And then right away, Elon Musk says, surely it's reviewed at least every year.
How, may I ask, is he able to do all that he's doing in Washington right now and then to stay on top of the tweets to be able to reply within an hour of that thing being tweeted out?
I just don't know.
I'm just curious.
I just don't know. But we have to talk about this, because if it turns out that gold is not there, and we know it isn't. We just know it isn't, right? Because that's humans. If it was there, they would have said, sure, let's audit it. How many times? We could audit it once a week. And they've given us all the usual excuses that raccoons give, right? You know, it's like, oh, well, it's very expensive. No, it's not, right?
It'd take forever.
Yeah. Oh,
you don't
yeah.
have time.
They have these big seals you'd have to cut. And literally, they have rope seals on these things with wax.
Really?
It's a thing. Yeah, on the vault doors. And you would have to open that. And then you'd have to, like, look in there. And you have to start counting bars. You know, you have to write it down. Could take all weekend. It'd be terrible. Right. And, but of course they would want to also assay the bars to make sure that we don't accidentally have a whole bunch of tungsten coated
Chinese
bars, or we have some lead coated bars, or there's just copper, or they're not 99.9% pure gold. It's 43% pure gold because somebody pulled a fast one.
How do
so
they?
So there would be some sampling, of course.
Yeah.
But again, you do a random sample. You just go through, you know, you pull X number of bars from various spots that you didn't pick, by the way. You don't go, oh, I think I'll take one from the back. You have a computer program that says there's supposed to be 40,000 bars in this vault.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you numbers. And you have to go find bar number 32,318 and
pull it,
sample it, right? Drill core it and put it off for assaying. That's what we should do. But I have
They don't have to.
I have a... Yeah. Well, look, it's spreading now.
They don't want to.
It's spreading. Rand Paul. Ooh. Nope. Let's do it.
Carl is saying the gold has been leased to the deep state.
Yeah, leased.
I like that.
Has it been leased? Yeah. Put air quotes around that. Okay. Leased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This stuff, I guarantee you, it's been sold, rehypothecated, raccooned, taken off. It is somewhere other than where it's supposed to be. And yeah.
So that's your bet. That's what you think.
Yeah.
That's what they're gonna find.
I think it looks like this. I asked Grok to draw me a picture of what I suspect Fort Knox vaults look. I think there's some in there. I think there's a little pile of it over in the corner. Maybe.
It's mostly empty space.
Mostly. Right.
Oh no. Well, do you think they're gonna tell us though, if, when they do go into that, if Elon, I mean, I can't imagine the fuss they're going to put up if they actually do audit that.
But this is the great awakening. We are back to now, this obviously the right thing to do
mm-hmm.
is to audit Fort Knox. The mm-hmm. right thing to do is to say the Department of Education brought us from 8th on the list to 40th. Let's just get rid of them. The right thing to do is to say, wow, $3 million to discover how sex hormones change the fighting habits of hamsters. Not going to do that anymore. Right. So, so there's a lot of right thing. The right thing to do is to audit that thing. And by the way, that's Fort Knox right there. That's a picture of it. That's what it looks like. So when we mentioned this thing, I thought it's good to have a visual of it. There it is.
Okay.
I know people, well, people have reached out to me and said that they've actually, they worked at the surrounding area and they said security's good.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I don't know if they're tunnels. I don't know.
There must be. I mean, look at all that space between that and the surrounding areas.
Well, the vaults all go underground. It's the vaults aren't in that building, right? I mean, that's the building. There's probably some offices there, but you got to go underground. And it's very secure.
Okay.
But last audited in 1974, and then they've given every possible hijinks reason for why not audit it. And I know you and I, we already know the answer because it's not there. That's the reason.
So, yeah.
So anyway, so we've been tracking this for a while. And ever since early February, it's been obvious that all these reports were coming out. 400 tons of gold suddenly left London, landed in the New York Comics vaults. Then from there, 200 tons of gold left the Comics vaults for parts unknown. I'm going to guess this is one of the destinations. Mm-hmm. I think there's an emergency scramble to replace stuff that should be there but isn't.
Right.
But it's 50 years, Evie, of raccoonery and hypothecating and selling and reselling.
So they open it up. There's a bunch of IOU papers fluttering about onto the ground.
Well, yeah. So great comments under that when I posted that thing. That's exactly what Animatrix posted under my Twitter thing. Look at this. Carla said, it's 10 a.m. Do you know where your country's gold is? Remember those ads?
Yes.
It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Like, they used to have to ask. They used to have to run ads. That's the generation I grew up in. Like no helicopter parenting there. They had to run ads on TV like it's 10. Do you know where your kids are?
Do you know where your kids are?
People, I'm sure more than a few parents are like, that's a good question.
It's too quiet in here.
So I laughed at that. Frank Burns said, get Geraldo to open it up live, right? It's guaranteed to be empty. Remember that whole, he opened Al Capone's vault and there was like weeks of lead up and months. This was on TV and Geraldo, he's like, they finally opened Al Capone's vault. And I think there was like a shoe in there. It's like empty.
Oh, it was very disappointing.
And then I said, all we need is Jim Cramer saying he's 100% sure it's all there. Because you know he's always wrong.
Yeah.
And 6 days, 1 week said Jim Cramer, do your thing. So we're having fun with it,
but it's serious.
It is serious. No, if it's not there, I can't predict what the financial repercussions are going
to
be.
That's what Arsenal. There was somebody in the chat that was asking what happens to the price of gold if they open Fort Knox and it's empty. I'm not sure where it is, but that's okay.
We don't know. But hey, Steve Young. Hey, buddy. I just realized I live in Hochulstan. That's Hochul, Kathy Hochul being the governor of the state of New York. And perhaps it's Jamestown. Yeah.
Hi, Steve. So good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
Many good friends on here.
And it took a while to make all those gold plated tungsten bars. It took 50 years of raccoonery and all of this and that.
But that could be huge. That could be a huge bait and switch, you know, that we walked into, and that by the time we really take this seriously and get upset about the debt that we're in, coupled with what we don't have as assets as a country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this could be really bad.
Well, I think the time of taking people at their word, this whole idea, no audits, we don't need audits because it's the government, they would never, right? That's done. Everything's going to be open source, public. Put it on the blockchain if necessary. We can all look at it. I should be able to, as a citizen, go to a web page and see every single gold bar held, and they should have a camera, Wi-Fi enabled. Like I should be able to go in and look at that vault.
I think I'm going to look at my bar today,
right?
Go spend some time with my bar. You would do that, wouldn't you?
I would. No, it's, but why? Why not? That's the point, though. Why not?
I know. I don't know. That's what's sketchy about it.
It's been, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. I just know that when people are unaudited, bad things end up happening. So this came out, and they're citing News Pravda, which, of course, you know, we're going to take this with a grain of salt. I'm not presenting this as truth, but this is an article that came out.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
The Trump administration is quietly advancing plans to audit the U.S. gold reserves at Fort Knox as part of a groundbreaking initiative to establish a strategic asset reserve designed to hedge against economic volatility in global de-dollarization. Multiple high-level sources within the Treasury and White House exclusively confirmed to News Pravda.
Okay. News Pravda is what it sounds like. That's Russian.
Okay.
Right? So not sure that's a great source, and I'm not sure this is very unsourced at this point in time,
okay.
But they're trying to say here multiple high-level sources within the Treasury and White House exclusively confirmed to News Pravda. Grain of salt on that. Grain of salt. But you can feel the pressure building on this, right?
Yeah, you can.
So the way I interpret this, if News Pravda got in on this, News Pravda is just like, have you ever seen the video where the crow bites the tails of the cats until they start fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
the jaybird or whatever.
Being the jaybird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And
just like, ooh, yeah.
You guys should check on that.
You guys should check on that, right? knowing there's going to be fireworks, knowing there's a really high chance it ends up looking like this. And this is going to set off an unknowable set of chain reactions, but not least of which is, of course, massive loss of trust in our institutions,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the fourth turning. But when people find out that we have been comprehensively lied to, not just about the gold in Fort Knox, that's bad. That can be bad enough. But wait till we find out what RFK is going to find that we hid from ourselves within the bowels of HHS. That's going to be devastating.
It is going to be devastating. It already is from the whispers I've heard.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Right? We live in a country where people purposely harmed us, made us sick, I hope just for profit, not for fun, that they committed fraud, that they enriched themselves, that they made secret slush fundy things called USAID to funnel all this grifty money to all these people working in various NGOs who did the whole ecosystem of NGOs. Mm-hmm. And by the way,
I was just going to add to that. When you take the suffering of a family that's, you know, worked with a child that has disabilities as a result of some of the things that have happened as a mm-hmm. result of these products, and I know you all know what I'm talking about, that's going to be a really painful moment. Can you imagine all the agony and anguish as a family that you have to, you know, shoulder by yourself, and you're left for dead, essentially?
I can imagine that. Can you imagine the, let's just say, how do I put this euphemistically? The emotional release, the catharsis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that just these people losing their jobs is that's not it.
Yeah.
These people just civilly are having to cough up all of their lifetime of salary, taking all their money away, isn't enough.
Mm.
If it turns out that people hid
mm-hmm.
that vaccines cause autism, cause rheumatoid arthritis, cause neurological development delays, cause ADHD, whatever the litany of things are, if they hid that,
mm-hmm.
even though the rationale was, yes, but on balance, you have to understand that we're thinking in the utilitarian framework, which is you have to break a few eggs to make the omelet. The omelet is public safety. But if we let people know that, yes, your child was vaccine injured and we actually compensated you for that, more people might go, I don't want any part of that for my kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll roll the dice of illness versus that particular shit show.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
So they might have rationalized it again. Remember, we're not rational.
We're rationalizing. The moral,
rational thing to do would be to say, oh, looks like we have some problems with this particular vaccine formulation. Let's try another one. Or it's not worth it on balance. Or we give parents full informed consent. And when the inevitable tail risk happens to some unfortunate kids, because we haven't figured it out, but we had no curiosity. Was it because of what they ate the day before? Was it the combination of this plus this plus this? We don't know. Was it red dye number 3 plus the vaccine?
Right.
Was it their genetics? We don't know because we haven't looked into it because we didn't want to know because we didn't want to create vaccine hesitancy.
Or somebody somewhere knows exactly what causes it.
Or it's worse. They know that. And they know that a healthy child is not a lifetime customer for inhalers, for creams, for pills.
That makes me sick.
That's what we're up against here. That's actually what's about to be exposed. And I don't know how we survive this as a, let's just put
it's like
this,
Nuremberg.
Well, it's a before and after. Our culture cannot recover to what it was.
Right.
Because what it was gross and broken and not worth preserving, frankly.
Yeah.
but it's unknowable when you rip these things off. Like, it's like, can you imagine if you grew up in a family structure and you got a loving dad and loving mother, and then you find out dad was a serial killer? It's a little disruptive to your, you know, story of self.
Your worldview. Yeah, it does. It's going to be an adjustment for sure for all of us to comprehend and really sit with and settle into what was done on our behalf, not just to ourselves and each other, but to countries all around the world and people all around the world.
Yeah.
Right. In the name of democracy, we've obviously intervened and changed the course of other people's lives without their consent.
Yep.
All right, let's read some comments. Yeah,
here's one. I just put it up on the screen.
Oh,
for
great.
You.
100% pharma is in the business of growing markets. Indeed, it is. That's by George. Hey, George.
Hey, George. good to see you here. George is a great guy.
Oh, he really
is. A good guy out there. Lives in California.
Your old climbing buddy, right?
We'll get him off. Get him out of there. Funky Wanderer says, I'm not vaccine hesitant. I'm vaccine opposed. I am too now. Mm-hmm. Until they show me actual data, I can believe. You know?
Well, you know, I have an answered question I want to know. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'm dying to hear about when all this information comes out is why the heck magnets were sticking to people's arms.
that
really.
To be fair, we've run the experiment in our own home and it's a thing and we can't explain it yet.
It's stuck to your arm.
But I'm not vaccinated, so.
I know.
I don't know.
Well,
what
not
it is.
With that round of shots.
Not with that round of shots. It's a weird thing. Maybe humans are more Iron Man than we thought. We don't know. Could be something.
I just can't wait to hear the explanation for that.
Where am I going with all this? Like... Oh, and by the way, I know. I look. Canada's getting pretty upset with feeling like they've been dismissed or strong-armed by the United States, and they've started to boo the national anthem, and we just saw that the United States actually beat Canada in hockey, which I'm sure is a little extra salt on that wound, all things Canadian and hockey-related. By the way, I don't know if you saw it, Heavey, but they had three fights break out in the first 60 seconds.
In the hockey game?
Yeah, it's just tensions are high, right? But I wanted to give some good news to Canada. And my good news is this. You don't have to, your audit's going to be super inexpensive for your gold because you have zero. I have more gold than Canada's central bank. So that's going to be a cheap audit to run. Oh. This is one of the stupidest decisions ever.
Why?
Ever. I don't know, but under Trudeau, they're just like, oh yeah, we don't need this stuff. And they just like sold all their official gold.
They're like, yeah, we don't need our energy.
Don't need that.
I mean, they're up a creek without a paddle here, you know, buying LNG from the United States. And
no, they ship us still. Canada.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. They got plenty of energy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Germany.
Yeah. No, Canada's fine. But.
Wrong country.
But good news. Your audit's going to be super cheap. Yep. Nothing in there. Nothing whatsoever. Now, while we're on the subject, though. Why stop? Here's what's happened. Okay, here's the progression.
Okay.
You ready? Here's the progression. This is exciting. So Trump gets elected, they get in, and next thing you know, he brings in this Doge team, right? Which is what very smartly configured. It wasn't like a whole new thing he made up. He snuck it under something that had been started by Obama and had been quietly running for years. It was a department that does software. And so it automatically had all the threads. It's tied into the systems. It had the security clearances to do all of that stuff. So it starts. And the first thing they do is they're like, wow, would you look at this little bit of corruption we found? Oh, my gosh, it's a lot worse than we thought. Oh, my gosh, it's a lot worse than we thought. Oh, my gosh. You know, and off we go. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into the Doge bit for a second. But the headwaters of this particular story are the Federal Reserve. I never thought we would actually get to the point where I could say this and it might happen. The headwaters of all of our difficulties is an institution known as the Federal Reserve. And if you know about the Federal Reserve, you understand it's about as federal as Federal Express. It is a private firm. It has capital stock, not owned by you or me, not owned by any particular taxpayer, but owned by banks. So banks own the central bank. And it operates under a charter that was signed into law in 1913. One of the worst decisions Woodrow Wilson ever made. I think he was on record on his deathbed or close to it, regretting that decision because he sold out the country to a group of banksters. The central bank of our country, the Federal Reserve, is a banking cartel. And that's not hyperbole. That's an accurate description. That's what it is. Well, it's sitting there and it's been entrusted with the most important thing you could possibly imagine, which is running a printing press in the United States citizens' interests. Now, we could argue those interests have gone off the rail, did it a long time ago. But at this point, the United States government is spending currently at current rates $1.2 trillion per year on interest. Now, what's that? That's interest on U.S. Treasury debt. Why do we pay interest on Treasury debt? Because we have to go out into the markets and borrow that money. From who? From the Federal Reserve, ultimately, and its ecosystem of banks. So that's okay. You know what? Administering a money system is tricky, and maybe the government doesn't do it that well. And so the decision to create a Federal Reserve originally was a good decision. It was like, look, this is an outsourced business function. We don't want to manage mowing lawns. We don't want to, you know, do telecom, and we don't want to manage our money. That's not let private firms run that. Great. But at the point in time when your private telephone company, in this case, the Federal Reserve, says, we need $1.2 trillion of your money just to administer this program, because that's what that interest represents, administration costs. Sooner or later, somebody's going to go, why don't we just print our money ourselves? Why cut out? If the middleman's going to charge us $1.2 trillion, why wouldn't we just do it ourselves? And that's the actual thing that is now on the books. That's what the audit, the Fort Knox, is about, because that's what Scott Bessent is talking about when you mentioned, Evie, that you read about the sovereign wealth fund, or that national reserve fund. That's getting us to this idea of saying maybe we don't need the Federal Reserve as much or at all. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, this is the biggest transformation we've ever heard about, because we will become free again as humans.
Because yeah, but there are people that don't want that
by our system of money. No, there's people who absolutely
there are people
don't
that
want
that. Really don't want that.
Let's hear from one of them now, shall we?
Oh, sure.
One of my least favorite people. I'm sorry, I listened to it, so now you have to too.
Thanks.
Maxine Waters talking to Jay Powell, who's looking about 10 years older than last week, so he's under some strain.
You think so?
I think it's connected. Let's listen in.
And Musk comes knocking at the Fed's door. You gonna let him in?
I don't have anything for you on that.
Would you like to tell us today that you won't let Doge into the Federal Reserve or have access to the systems and the data?
So we've had no contact, and I have nothing for you to report today on that.
Well, you know what happened to Treasury, and you know what happened over at the CFPB, and the people of this country are being violated because all of our privacy is being taken up by Elon Musk.
Okay. First, Maxine, the violation happened a long time ago. In fact, my cell phone collects more information on me than I'm comfortable with. But she's going with it. This is her shtick. We've been violated. Like, oh, honey, have we ever? And we've seen the bills. Like, we got violated good and hard, but not the way you're suggesting. Right. It's like, oh, but there's this secret information that maybe Elon shouldn't have. Like, well, then why do you have it? Right? You know, it's anyway. But here's the money shot. Here we go.
And Trump. And we don't know what all they have on us.
We don't know what all they have on us. I think that's a fair assessment by her. No, she's disgusting. She is absolutely one of the raccoons.
Yeah,
I've lost
is.
So much respect.
I know.
For Congress and senators, so much. Used to have like, oh, senators, Congress. Now I'm like, ew. Lower levels of management of raccoonery,
exactly.
And they're just gross.
You're like, so what's your real reason for doing the job you're doing? Because you're a public servant, but clearly you have other intentions for being in that office. You know?
How many of them came out multi-millionaires on 174,000?
Yeah, it's infuriating. It's gross.
It's infuriating. That's the correct word.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And I think we all need to sort of sit with that and get angry. It's time to get angry. That's how I feel.
Okay. So, but here's a prediction.
Rah, rah, rah.
I'm with you, but get this. So, and I'm like, yeah, bring it on. Cause I'm so excited. But here's the thing. 100%. I will guarantee everybody listening to this, that the Federal Reserve, having operated for over 100 years, unaudited, there is a lot of dirt in there. they were funneling money and clicking money out of thin air and wiring through Cayman's offshore accounts.
And Chris, the grossest thing of all is that I think a lot of it was going into child sex trafficking.
It's possible. There's a real dark story there.
With Epstein and all that, there's something really rotten.
But at a minimum, we know that the federal government couldn't have existed without the Federal Reserve just printing up all the money as necessary. Mm-hmm. And then they took that, put it into USAID, and then funneled it to these NGOs, many of whom are implicated in child sex trafficking mm-hmm. and cross-border incursions and ruining this country and doing things that are against our best long-term interests as a country and against morality, against basic morality. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes. Let's audit the Fed because, you know, the chance that we're not going to find raccoons raccooning. Of course, it is the most basic thing. People who are unaudited, who have a printing press, they should be the most audited people in the world. Hmm. Like daily, like every night somebody comes in and audits them. And says,
yeah, it's like the banker in a Monopoly game. Everybody's watching them and they take money out.
But you can't see.
You have to.
Yeah, can you imagine playing Monopoly against an 8-year-old, only you can't see what they're doing with the cash, right? They're just sneaking new piles under their part of the board. You know, that's what's been happening. It's 100% guarantee. It's just humans. Mm-hmm. Oh, but the Fed would never do that. Dude, it's humans. Like, oh, that's. People would never do that. Like, this is just humans. This is humans. Oh, this is just humans. It's human 101. It's kind of like I know that our election machines, you can tamper with them at a root admin level and leave an untraceable record of having changed the voting results. Nobody can trace it. Therefore, those results are 100% invalid because somebody monkeyed with them. Mm-hmm. It's just a guarantee. It's an absolute guarantee to me.
Yeah. Oh, I like how. Steve Young says, it's amazing how Maxine and her ilk are so deeply immersed in their own belief system that they can say the quiet part out loud under pressure. Five former Treasury secretaries did it right in the New York Times.
They did it right in the New York Times. They did. It was the most astonishing thing. Remember we were talking with Jeffrey, about that in the last live cast?
Yes.
And they were like, you know, the Treasury's been 80 years. Nobody's looked into it. And we like it that way. Like, oh, 80 years of unaudited, unoverseen spending. Here's the point. Whatever they've uncovered here right now so far. In Doge, tip
of the iceberg.
This is magnificent. In fact, you have to wonder, is our entire country just a big fraudulent scheme?
I wonder about that. I mean, I also am curious. Remember that video you showed me the other day of the woman who is reacting to?
Oh, yeah. A lot of swear words.
That was really good. But the implications of this are mm-hmm. huge, right?
Yeah.
The debt that our country owes and that we're going to be called upon, right? And you teach a lot about this with the crash course and exponentials and mm-hmm. how it works. Like, a doubling doesn't, you know, at the beginning, it doesn't seem like very much money, but then by the end, you're just completely overwhelmed with debt. And I feel like there mm-hmm. are huge implications for us as little people that are going to have to carry this debt. Our great grandchildren are going to have to deal with what happens next. It's really a big moment.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I put this out in a piece I put out on Friday. This is from the public part of it. I just want to review this again very quickly, just so everybody understands. And I know it's a chart. But no, this is really important stuff. It's really value. Okay, everybody should know this. Debt is in the green dotted line on top. That those numbers are in billions of dollars on the Y or up and down axis over there to your left. So when we see a number like 100,000, that's 100,000 billions. That's 100 trillion.
My brain doesn't understand that.
No, I don't even understand a billion. So 100,000 billions is like, what? You know, we're talking stars in the universe at this point in time. It's a big number. And maybe stars in the galaxy. I hyperbole on that one. But at any rate, $100 trillion of debt. And the stuff we have to pay that debt back with is our GDP, that little red line down there. This was going to break someday anyway.
It was
going to break. And so if you knew this was going to break, what do you do about this? And I think that's the question we have to resolve, because I think Trump said it clearly. He said in his inaugural address, mm-hmm. God turned my head in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Right.
I'm here with God's help to make this country great again.
Yep.
You look at this chart and you go, oh, my country's broke, literally broke and broken.
Right.
So what do you do?
Well, I have a question, a clarifying question. Who, and Darren, I think in the chat asked this, like, who is the debt to?
Well, it gets
complicated, right?
It gets to this, right here from Mindtrap, right?
What if they throw it all away and just issue new currency, all debt forgiven?
Well, that's the right question to be asking. So that's an answer.
Mm.
You could do that. Now because when you get to this level of this chart, there's really only one question to resolve. Who's going to eat the losses? My entire adult lifetime, that answer has always been the little people, right?
Surprise.
Heads, bankers speak. Heads we win, tails you lose, right? That's how they play, right? Oh, look at these great years we're having, record bonuses. Uh-oh, great financial crisis. We need to bail out, right? It's just been, that's the game. Well, the way you bail out this situation is you create a lot of inflation, which is a very regressive tax. It harms little people more than
small businesses,
than the big people. The big people principally hold all the debt. So to the question, like, well, what if we just jubileed this? What if we just said, start over, hit the reset button? Well, then all the holders of that debt just take it in the shorts, right? So that's what happens. Well, who holds the debt? You might or I might, if we have a Treasury Direct account. It might be Yale's endowment. It could be state coffers. It's a lot of banks holding this on their bank balance sheet. Foreigners. The losses, though, would be concentrated heavily in the hands of the people who hold that debt.
And we're of the mind that those people or those organizations, whoever they are, too big to fail. I mean,
listen, to try and fix this by putting a new money system in is akin to replacing both wings on the airplane that's in flight. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm like,
it's really tricky to
That's going to be really, really tricky to do. But the point was, this was going to stop someday anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Question was, were we just going to ignore it? You know, the three monkeys hear, see, talk no evil, right? If we could monkey our way to just letting it happen to us. Oh, boom. But that's falling off the top extension ladder rung onto rocks, right? Mm-hmm. I think that if you're going to do the right thing, and listen, if we can think our way through this, everybody else can. Certainly people at Treasury, certainly Scott Bessent, certainly Trump. So if you look at this and you're like, what do we do? And we want to do the right thing, which means not screwing over little people this time, because I think that's where the story is.
Mm-hmm.
I think this begins to explain the gold story.
Mm-hmm. Why gold's a good hedge against whatever is coming.
Well, yeah. And, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, no, we could never do that. You know, there's not enough gold. In fact, truth, there's 261 million ounces of gold in Fort Knox, allegedly. That's less than an ounce per person. That's not enough, right? You would say. But people don't know about something like this. This is gold, right? This is physical gold. This is an aurum. It has 1/10 of a gram. 1/10 of a gram. So if there's 31 grams in a troy ounce, then this would be about, rounding crazily right now, $10 of gold in here. It's a $10 bill.
Okay.
But it's real gold. Like, there's actually gold. This isn't like gold colored. There's actually gold electrodeposited onto this between two layers of.
And that's why it's shiny.
Yes. Because gold, you can make gold one atom thick and it'll still shine like
that's
that.
Amazing.
But it's between two levels of currency plastic. And and so you could do that. Or you
that'd
could,
be neat if we made all of our
if
money
you
out of
circulating,
this?
You know, physical things, or you can just have gold, you know, actually in an account with an electronic representation of it that can't be monkeyed with by humans because we cannot be trusted. Just
I know
some people can, but I mean, in balance, you can't. Eventually, a raccoon gets in there and it's all over, right?
Yeah, I guess that was the argument for blockchain or crypto in the beginning was. It was like this verifiable, people couldn't get in there and mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
That was initially the argument for it,
yep.
If I remember correctly.
Yep. Okay, one second. I have this out of place here. I'm so...
All right, what you got?
The stage for a second. Well, I've scrambled my slides up. I did. Because I just threw them together.
I wish I could see the comments while you're doing this, but...
You can't see the comments. They're right
no,
there.
No, I can't like move them around though and play with. That's okay. Anyhow, so yeah, we, Chris and I both have taken the time to get our hands on some gold and silver. We feel like it's a really good way to hedge against what might be coming. And if you had to do something other than holding these paper promise tickets, as he often calls them, you know, the just the paper money, wouldn't it be nice to have something that either is going to hold its value or going to be exchangeable in the future in some, you know, significant way? And so we've decided that that's a good way for us in part to hold on to some of retirement and what we've, you know, been trying to save.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, I mean, everybody, there's something huge happening in the gold market right now that's way beyond our pay grade, right? This has nothing to do with retail. It hasn't anything to do with you or I going out and getting a few extra coins or bars or something like that. This is big money. It's moving. Everybody in the space. So I talk with the people at Goldcore, people who've been in the space for many, many years. They all say the same thing.
Which is who we work with, right?
Which is who we work with. Goldcore. If you want to have vaulted gold, I love Goldcore. You can go to peakprosperity.com and we have a place to find them there. And we're going to have, they said that this next week, because so much gold has moved, they're going to have a special deal for our people, where we might be able to pick up like Krugerrands for like a dollar or two over spot, they said, but don't hold them to that. But that's what they said. Get ready. We might have that coming. So at Peak Prosperity, we'll talk about that because I want to hook people up with that. Everybody should have some though, just on the principle that where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke in the gold market right now.
Yeah. So tell me what's going on here.
Hundreds of tons have moved, and that's what we know about. Hundreds of tons are coming and going, leaving hither and yon. It's starting to smell to me like we're going to get gold is going to get remonetized.
Okay. Right?
We have, and I've gone covered this all again at Peak Prosperity. I put out, you know what I do? I put lots of thought into my weekly presentations.
Yeah, you do. It's kind of like you get to take a college course every week with Chris. Like,
but interesting.
Interesting. You're not falling asleep. And I think he addresses a lot of questions that most people have, myself included. I can't even keep up with the amount of material you put out sometimes.
I know.
But
and you live with
if
me.
if you find yourself curious about more or you want to dig deeper, please definitely check out Peak Prosperity and look at some of his pieces.
Hey, look, Blue Sky is talking their own book here.
Aw. Thank you.
And so I'm trying to find it because so many comments have gone by, but somebody said, oh yeah, here it is.
What you got? He really doesn't like raccoons.
I have chickens. Okay. If you ever had chickens, you know, the struggle is real when it comes to raccoons.
It's true.
It's true. All right. So we're going to turn now to this next section, playing dodgeball. Which I can't just came up with that this morning.
Nice.
Look at this. This is like every day they just put these lists out.
Oh my God. Can I read some?
Yeah, just give us some, Evie, and I'll do my best to not throw up.
US taxpayer dollars were going to be spent on the following items, all which have been canceled. $10 million for, quote, Mozambique voluntary medical male circumcision.
Okay, now hold on. That's so much better than the $8 million we spent on involuntary circumcision, because that was an unpopular program, I guess.
$9.7 million for UC Berkeley to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills.
That's a junket for gay congressmen to go over and have their fun on with Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. Yeah.
Streetwalkers.
I don't know. That's
all right, thanks.
I interpret everything now through this lens of gross.
I know.
It's as bad as you think, but worse.
$2.3 million for strengthening independent voices in Cambodia. $32 million for the Prague Civil Society Center.
Whatever that is.
$40 million for Gender Equality and Women Empowerment Hub.
A hub.
I'm going to skip a few. $486 million to the Consortium for Elections and Political Process Strengthening.
Okay.
What even is that? Including $22 million for, quote, inclusive and participatory political process in Moldova, and $21 million for voter turnout in India. What? This is insane.
Yeah.
$29 million to strengthen the political landscape in Bangladesh. Does any of this sound right to you guys? This is crazy. This is just insane.
$47 million improving learning outcomes in Asia.
They don't need help with that. They're kicking our asses.
No. I guarantee you none of those dollars went for any of that stuff.
Oh, wow.
That's all like deep state. Like almost all of that went to overthrowing certain.
Yeah.
Certain. That's what we did. That's what the United States did. We spent a lot of time and money never being happy with how the world seems to be organized and spending money to overthrow governments or make sure right. they're getting the right people in the right places.
We were nudging them.
Yeah.
So soft nudges.
I don't have to. This is the best part. All this stuff is writing itself. This is why this is the signal hours, because X is the signal now. And it's just it's such high signal. Look, I just took the top. These were just three comments. First top three. Matt Van Swole has been doing this great work. Western North Carolina brought a lot of attention to that shit show down there. Mm-hmm. And he was, by his own definition, he's like he was Democrat until he found out just how comprehensively he had been betrayed, he and his people. Right. And it's gross reading what's happened or not happened mm-hmm. in Western North Carolina. But he says, yeah, quote, it's genuinely horrifying to see how much money the American people were sending to other countries while our own infrastructure is crumbling. Just disgusting.
And Jeff Carlson says, how many of these grants were being spent on the things other than what they were designated for?
And Ann Vandersteel, love Ann's work. She's a great lady. Met her down in Panama in person for the first
time. That's right.
With Michael Yon when we went into the Darien Gap. So she's got balls of Vandersteel herself. What does this nonsense even mean? Talk about money laundering. It's corrupt. It's corruption. Hey, Evie.
You and I wouldn't be able to do this, by the way. Like if we were being fancy with our finances like this and trying to work around essentially settling up in any meaningful way, we would be in so much trouble.
Oh, no, we'd be strung up in a skinny minute, you right? Know? All right.
Anyway.
But this is all for the raccoonery and
right. its NGOs. And this is just recent, right?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like this is happening every day. I can't even keep up with it.
I know. Every day I read something like this. This came from February 15th. There'll be another one tomorrow. I'll show you. We go to the Doge website where they pull a lot of this stuff. They have one now, doge.gov. But anyway.
Oh, I got to check that out.
But it's having its impact, TV. It's having its impacts because you read stuff like this on Zero Hedge that there was been an eruption in Bleachbit. Wipe hard drive. Offshore bank searches in D.C. suggesting deep state panic mode.
Is that real?
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was just a joke.
And search terms for lawyer, search term for non-extradition countries, like just exploding in D.C. right now. There's a lot of worried people there.
Well, what are they going to do? They're about to lose all this corrupt money that they've squirreled away.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they can laugh at implementing all these things. Yep. The little people, because they think somehow they're going to be exempt.
Yeah.
And sorry, I got something in my eye. You can.
All right.
Turn
well,
the
speaking
camera
of which, this is a great point here from here. This all that stuff we just saw on this. This is 100%. This is election meddling in other countries. Now, what did the left scream about when Trump got elected? This was Russian meddling. They hated it because here's the iron law of raccoons, of corrupt individuals, iron law of the totalitarians. They commit confession by projection. They accuse you of the things they are doing, right? And they're just transparent about it. They just say it right out loud. Like we saw Maxine Waters, like, we don't know what they have on us. Oh yeah, right? That's terrible. We're the ones who are supposed to have something on you. You're supposed to fear us. And she doesn't like the turning of the tables. So to quote Michael Scott, oh, how the turntables. So anyway, that's cool. But get this, Doge News now reporting here that House Republicans strike a deal. I haven't, you know, it comes from Zero Hedge. They strike a deal to cut $1.5 trillion from the budget.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay, folks, this is going to result in guaranteed a recession. No, there's no way to avoid it. That $1.5 trillion represents about 5% of GDP.
Wow.
There's not a chance in the world we're going to have offsetting growth in other things to eat that up. this results in a recession, but it's pain now for actual recovery and a better future. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be cavalier about this, but I'm all for this. I'm all for that.
Yeah. And the Republicans, because we have the House, we can do that, right?
It's going to be a fight for sure.
Is it going to be a fight?
Oh, it's going to be a fight.
Because they're essentially proposing this, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, no, but it's something's going to happen. I mean, because for sure we know this, right? Which is that, you know, they came out recently. Should have been the most shocking thing ever. Elon said, we discovered that there's $2.7 trillion that have been sent from Medicaid outside of the country. How do you send Medicare money to Africa or Romania? Or like, it just doesn't even make any sense. Right.
For what would you, why? Because isn't that for healthcare
here in the US?
But
yeah,
why would you benefit from getting those programs if you don't live here and you can't receive those services?
Well, but this is the GAO, the General Government Accountability Office, put this out in, look at that, June of 24. So they've known about this. They put this report out. Nothing happened.
No.
Nothing happened. Now,
the last administration didn't care.
This is prima facie. $236 billion in fiscal year 2023. They reported cumulative improper payments. Many of these
about
literally going
out
of the country.
Trillion.
2.7 trillion. There you go. Let's get $236 billion of... How is this not a thing? How did somebody just look at that and shrug and go, well, what are you going to do? But, you know, that's just impossible. The reason they didn't do anything about it is because they were benefiting from it. This was 100%. And by the way, this next election cycle, I can't wait. Democrats and Republicans. Everybody who was in power who refused to look at this, didn't want to do anything, replace them.
We got
let's
a clean
get people,
house.
Yeah, let's get people let's in go. There. Who are ready to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree.
Because it's just gross corruption, but you pay for it. I pay for it. What, why is the cost of living up 25% in 4 years? Because of this, because when the government spends money that it doesn't have on things that it shouldn't be buying, that's just pure inflation. We all pay for it. It's the hidden tax. It's terrible.
That makes me angry. I don't want to be paying for Nancy Pelosi to get richer.
No, but it's not even Nancy Pelosi. There was like this whole ecosystem with all those NGOs, right? So I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, Data Republican.
Yeah, I saw the flow chart.
Yeah, like, doing all these flow charts really, and it's just crazy. Like box after box, and it's by design complex, so you can't really trade. Where's the money?
It's hard to track.
It's a shell game.
It is a shell game.
But when you dig into one of those boxes, and I dug into several, every single one of them, Evie, is chock full of directors and executive directors and presidents and
they make a ton of money. I heard
$400,000-$700,000 salaries, all of them. It's just a whole ecosystem of people paying each other $400,000-$500,000 salaries. And then you finally saw that list we saw of like 16 million to Moldova to strengthen elections. Yeah, 15.8 million of that stayed in Washington, D.C. in the Beltway, going from one NGO to the next. Probably.
It's hard not to swear right now. It's hard to be doing this live cast and not swear.
Okay.
I want to say bad words.
Okay, tell you what, I'm going to mute the microphone for just a second. Go for it. 3, 2, 1. Okay, we're back. All right. We're good now.
We got it out a little bit. No, it's just hard to hold yourself back, you know?
Look at this, though. So here's where my schadenfreude is off the chart this week. And I don't wish ill will on people, but you know what? When people lose their jobs out in the, like Ford cuts 30,000 jobs, nobody goes through this gnashing of the teeth. But now they're very concerned. Think of the people, the MSNBC, CNBC writing all these articles like, oh, no, all these people are losing their jobs. This is very, very bad. They don't care at all. When it's working class people losing their jobs, but suddenly they got a lot of little violins out. Oh no, this is terrible.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
Too?
John Lefebvre, I follow him. Good guy.
John Lefebvre says, I don't wish ill on anyone, but these are the same people who have been robbing and stealing from us for years, all the while thinking they're geniuses and pretending to be virtuous.
Well said.
So I do not feel bad for them. They cheered as January 6th, grandmas were locked up by activist judges. They mocked and sneered at the masses. They are odious people. They define themselves as human beings. being by their six-figure salaries and how many diplomas they have on the wall, and they are in for a rude awakening. We're all out of NGO jobs and DEI jobs and influence peddling jobs.
The headline is unemployment spikes in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Good riddance. I have no sympathy at this point in time for the people who've been literally robbing us blind. I actually think losing their jobs is the first step, and mm-hmm. it's not the only step that should be undertaken here.
That's right.
Because the anger
so
is
much
righteous.
Accountability. So much. All of a sudden, we're like,
yeah,
there's that, you know, accountability for medical harms that have been done to us.
Yep.
You know, and the people that were at the heads of those organizations.
Yes. And speaking of which, we're going to go here.
Woohoo! Yes. I'm so excited about this.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I've been working with formerly known as the FLCCC, which is the frontline COVID critical care doctors who did a lot of work during COVID. Some of you know me through that work. And it's since transformed itself, rebranded as the Independent Medical Alliance. They're doing great work. And behind the scenes, there's been a lot. Like, we leaned in as hard as we could to help get RFK over the goal line. I'm not saying we did it, but man, we've been in on it.
Yeah.
Because this is, I think, the greatest possible transformation, the biggest thing that could happen for the country is that, you remember, we were watching, Evie and I were watching it live, the roll call vote. We were watching it, tick for tick.
This was so good. I've never watched any C-SPAN anything really ever. With that
and this
much
wasn't the
interest.
Final roll call, which was 52-48. We couldn't wait. As soon as it went over 50 to 51, we took a screenshot and like, yay, on February 13th, day of liberation for all of that. So Liz Churchill reporting here, winning. In under 48 hours. Want to read that?
Yeah, sure. In under 48 hours, Secretary RFK Jr. of HHS has stated that they'll be investigating autism. A vaccine injury reporting system will be created, and the lethal COVID vaccines are no longer mandated for children to attend school by executive order. That's huge.
Yeah. And you know what? It was not a minute too soon, right? Right. Oh, U.S. obesity rates in 1987 on the top. 2020, obviously, the darker it gets, the worse it's getting.
Oh, I have not seen these two side by side. That's disgusting.
It's bad. It's bad. So here's some of the first things that's going to happen. RFK Jr. saying he had nine things already. I'm just pulling out a few for this today. Nutrition and food safety. He's vowed to tackle the processed foods industry, suggesting a ban on certain food additives, crackdown on ultra processed foods linked to chronic diseases like obesity, diabetes. He's proposed removing fluoride from public water supplies due to health concerns. Now, this is weird, Evie. So
what's that?
So fluoride, there's all these people like, oh my God, he's taking our fluoride away. It's arguably one of the 10 best like health interventions. Like, they sound like turkeys.
Then why do we still have cavities?
So here's the thing.
That doesn't make any sense.
If you think fluoride helps teeth, you could possibly make an argument, right, for putting it into toothpaste or a mouthwash.
Right.
Why would you put it in drinking water? Right. Like, what's the theory? I'm going to drink it and my whole body's going to load up with fluoride and enough's going to lend in my mouth to make a difference to my dentine.
Yeah, that doesn't
enamel.
Really make any sense.
It's stupid.
And why would you want it systemically in your body? It can't be good.
Well, and
it's not good.
No, and there's plenty of studies that show that it lowers IQ levels, right? Then people argue, but not at the levels that we put it in the water at. That's at higher levels. Well, are you saying the dose response curve is it does nothing, 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 and then suddenly it has a bad effect? Or is it possible that there's like lesser effects?
Cumulative.
Like, why don't we put a neurotoxin into our water supply?
I remember them giving that to me in school. They gave us tablets because our water didn't have any.
Yeah.
And I was in like a private school and we'd have to line up. It was like once a week or something. And they'd give us this little pink fluoride pill.
Yeah. You had to chew those and then it would show you plaque on your teeth or something. I don't know if that was a fluoride pill. I think that was a plaque detector to show like build up, like if you've been brushing or not.
No.
Those were shame pills. I remember those.
No, I don't remember it being that. I remember it being legit fluoride. But anyway.
All right. At any rate. But there are all these people out there I saw on Reddit saying, I'm going to put fluoride back in my water if they take it away. I'm like, what even is this? These people are religious
Stockholm
nuts.
Syndrome.
They're nuts.
It seems like nuts. It's kind of a mental health issue at this point.
And by the way, who drinks tap water anymore anyway?
We do.
We do, because we have a well.
Because it's amazing.
Awesome. You want me to read policy, the last one? He's going to reverse 80 years of farm policy to deconstruct large-scale ag, advocating for small farms.
You took my job.
Okay. You can finish it. I'm just so excited. This is so
agricultural policy. His plans include reversing 80 years of farm policy to deconstruct large-scale agriculture, advocating for small farms, which might not produce enough food at low costs, but align with his vision for healthier, sustainable farming practices. That's amazing.
Yes.
That is so good. And if we stop paying the grifters in the story, then we can actually pay the farmers what it actually costs to grow healthy food.
If we unpacked USAID and found out that they'd secretly funneled $1 billion to small-scale regenerative farmers, like kids in their 20s and early 30s who were like starting like bold biodynamic farms, I'd have been like, okay. It was never that. It's never that, right? It's never for the good cause. So how about this one?
Kennedy has indicated intentions to reform vaccine policies by emphasizing safety. He has plans to enhance vaccine injury reporting and surveillance systems to make them more accurate. There's also mention of potentially stripping vaccine manufacturers of their immunity protections to hold them more accountable.
Oh,
no way. Is he going to reverse that?
Ooh.
That would be amazing.
Puts them on notice.
What a vaccine policy.
How about this? If you said, hey, Chris, there's a gun manufacturer, but this one manufacturer has been removed all liability. Like, gun blows up in your hand. It, like, you know, self-destructs every time you pull the trigger, injures people. Like, you would say, I'm not buying that gun from that company. Like, there's a company over here that has liability for the products and one without. You would never buy that. If you had a car manufacturer that was completely removed from all liability, you would never do that. Oh, hey, our building, we use elevators from a company that has complete liability from any problems. Like, I'm taking the stairs. It's just the most obvious thing ever.
I know.
Sorry.
That must have been some kind of grift that was going on then, right? When in the 80s when that got passed.
Oh, it's a really dark story.
We can go there. Is it a dark story?
We can go there. But I just like to tour what the other side is talking about and thinking about.
Oh.
So Accountable US, they said, a nurse educator gets really real. That's how you know they really, really mean it. RFK Jr. is running. HHS isn't just bad. It's dangerous. Push vaccine lies. Takes orders from Trump. Oh, that's it. We're all done in one. Would gut Medicare is warning. Her warning, we should be afraid. So listen up to this. Listen to this. Oh. And by the way, she sounds exactly like you expect. Are you ready? Yourself up.
I'm not.
Okay, get your earpiece in here because we're going to have to. I heard this, so you have to do. I won't make you listen to the whole thing because I'm not sure I can go through it an entire second time. But
I've been a longtime nurse educator out in Oregon, in Portland, and I wanted.
That's I think all we need to know.
From Oregon, Portland.
Portland. Oregon's bad, but Portland is like ground zero.
Is nutty. It really?
Total nutty. Oh. They
to see
nutty.
If RFK Jr. met what we would say are the basic qualifications for nursing. And as you know, he's going to be leading the largest healthcare institution in our country, which are safety, integrity, and accountability. And that
safety, integrity, and accountability.
That's a joke, right?
You know what it does? These are self-writing jokes at this point in time, but let's keep going.
That's the role of a nurse, is to make sure that we're advocating for patient safety and public health all the way. I'm really concerned about the fact that he's been a super spreader of misinformation about vaccines.
Again, if you asked her, I'll say again, because this is the iron law of dealing with these people. If you said, oh, that's terrible, give me an example, they would go, Oh, I don't have it right here.
Well,
but everybody
knows.
We know he has. I'm sure you could just read it somewhere. She wouldn't actually have an example of that, but I bring the receipts. We're going to have some examples of that. So let's keep going.
And we do have a lot of documentation about that in his own words. That's really alarming, because that's really scary if he's going to be the lead. And another thing that we heard over and over again is that he really wants President Trump's approval on every single thing he does. And
that would be a normally a good thing to make sure that your boss is aligned with what you're planning to do. So, she presents it like it's a slam dunk, like a, oh, well,
what an insult.
Yeah. Now Trump's involved. So now we can automatically know that we have to take the opposite of that, as it's just, wow, it's insane. And it gets more insane from there, but truth and accountability and whatever that was, right? Okay.
Integrity,
right? So this is the religious extremism that this woman here is actually part of. So let's talk about this. So this came out in 2000, I think this is 2021. This was in a newspaper, and they said here, heavy vax side effects, some COVID vaccines.
Oh, you want to take my job?
May cause heavy menstrual bleeding.
I will say it. Ready?
Okay.
Some COVID vaccines may cause heavy menstrual bleeding, specialists at the European Medicines Agency has warned, recommending this be added to the list of potential side effects. Cases of heavy menstrual bleeding have been reported after the first, second, and booster doses of Comirnaty, Pfizer, and Spikevax, Moderna, said a statement from the agency citing its drug safety committee. It concluded that there is at least a reasonable possibility that the occurrence of heavy menstrual bleeding is casually associated with these vaccines.
Sorry,
you're right. My brain mixed that up. There's no evidence to suggest the menstrual disorders experienced by some people have any impact on reproduction and fertility, the statement said. The committee also said that the benefits of these vaccines greatly outweigh the risks.
What the heck? Okay.
For everybody dealing with fertility issues.
One second.
You're going to glitch out here?
We're going to just mute the microphone for All right, I'm no OBGYN, but I'm pretty sure that by definition, that if you induce accidental, spontaneous, heavy bleeding in a woman, you've affected her fertility by definition.
Nuh-uh.
But the point is that this is not science. This is religious extremism. There's no evidence to suggest that this will have any impact on reproduction or fertility, you know, except for the fact that the thing that governs reproductivity and fertility is busy bleeding out.
Ugh, that's so gross.
This is what we had to put up with. Then that's what I think, you know, nurse lady here is like, she would much rather go back to the good old days where you could just print crap like this and just people had to shrug and accept it as the voice of wisdom and reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is
horrifying that people think this way, but it's not, it's as bad as that is. Boy, this gets worse. And, you know, we're going to get in trouble with the censors out there, but let's do it. So Miller and Goldman, 2011, I've presented this many times before, Evie. So this is from 2011. It's infant mortality rates regressed against number of vaccine doses routinely given. And they have to soften it because they're part of the vaccine, you know, religion. The Church of Vaccinology is out there. So you have to put the question mark at the end. Is there a biochemical or synergistic toxicity?
That's funny.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're tracking infant mortality rate, just the IMR, could be anything. I have another one which specifically shows that sudden infant death is highly correlated with the same thing, but they're just tracking overall infant mortality. So what they like to say, you saw this as well as I did, right? During the confirmation, Liz Warren said, if RFK gets in, kids are going to die, right? Because they won't be getting their vaccine. So here's the thing. They have this idea that if you don't get vaccines, kids will die. That's the statement, right? That's the belief system. And they should have data to back that up. Now, if you run this at a countrywide level, you will find out that you should be able to say, wow, if the more vaccines we give, the more kids should be living.
That's true.
Right?
And our quality of life should be better. We shouldn't have all these chronic diseases and autoimmune things.
Yeah, all that, but that's obesity. A second conversation. We're just talking infant mortality rates. So this is what it showed. Okay, let me get my fancy laser pointer out. This is astonishing. 2011, we've known this, right? And like I said, when this gets revealed, I mean, it was right there in print for us to all see since, you know, 13 years, 14 years now. But when it's finally revealed that there were individual people at the HHS, like nurse lady there, who were actively blocking this information from coming out for whatever reason. But look at this data. It says, here are the number of doses in the vaccine schedule given against various countries. And here's the number of infant mortality rates. These are all different countries plotted on here. And you can clearly see that the more shots you give, the higher your infant mortality rate goes up. Wow. That line slopes the wrong direction.
Yeah, it does.
It should be sloped 100% the other direction.
Okay, so it's not preventing any diseases.
With a p-value, it's death. It has nothing to do with disease yet. Has a correlation of 0.7, which means it's pretty solid, and has a p-value of 0.0001. There is less than a 1 in 10,000 chance that this is just an accidental result.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
What are you going to do? It's just data. So these, oh, no, we're really afraid. RFK is going to push vaccine lies. This isn't a lie. This is just data. That's what we've been fighting this whole time is these people, they just say stuff. Oh, he's pushing vaccine lies. And we have this data. This is horrifying. These are infants. It's even a tighter correlation, and it's really damaging for sudden infant death syndrome by the same people.
Do we know what the countries are there? We don't.
Yeah, we do. It's all in the study there. So very easy to find. By the way, I pull these studies down and I save them because they have a bad habit of disappearing and getting amended. So we got to save these things. But there it is. Miller and Goldman, they did good work. And by the way, this comes out of the National Institute of Health. This is in Environmental Toxicology, the Journal of
Anti-Vax Vaccinologists, obviously.
No, this is very not very much not.
I know.
By the way, this is also so read that, Evie, if you would, from the White House. This is from the White House, from RFK. He had a variety of things. Number three was that.
It says assess the prevalence of and threat posed by the prescription of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers, stimulants, and weight loss drugs. Ooh. And do you want me to read?
Yeah, Senator Tina Smith said.
This, okay. The down here on the
nope,
right.
Nope. Top.
Oh, you want me? This was one of RFK Jr.'s first orders after being sworn in. Just an astonishing denial of science. And will cause so much pain to the 45 million Americans facing mental health challenges. So she is not on board with these changes.
Well, first off, this is how insane these people have become.
Yeah.
He says, I want to assess the prevalence of, right? That's it. It's like, hey, we're going to start collecting the data.
Yeah,
that's called science.
It.
Let's get some data. We're going to assess this. This is him saying, I want to assess the prevalence of. She's like, well, this is just an astonishing denial of science. Like, oh my God. It's actually the opposite of what you're saying. Like, is she that ignorant?
How are you this? I wonder.
What is wrong with these people? This is what we've been living under.
It is what we have been living under.
Suffering under.
I think there's actually something very profound going on here, right? The Milgram experiments and all the things that they've been doing for a really long time. And the MK Ultra program, that didn't all just stop.
No,
that all went underground, and they figured out how to hijack our brains with greater and greater, technology and who knows what. Mm-hmm. And I believe that they have just finished running a giant psyop, and probably many of them.
Yeah,
because there are people whose brains seem to be ruined,
like Tina's.
Yeah,
Tina Smith's brain
just ruined.
Right. And I had to point out the obvious. This was me in a comment under that where I was like, hey, you do know that SSRIs and other antidepressants have had black box warnings on them from the FDA for 21 years. A black box warning that it put on in 2004 to alert healthcare providers to an increased risk of suicidal thoughts and behaviors. And those
behaviors, by the way,
included violent behaviors in children and adolescents. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and RFK is like saying, well, maybe we should assess the prevalence. Like we don't know how big that is because you go to the black box warning. It says this is a rare side effect. What the hell is rare? Rare is not a science term. We want a science term in there.
Yeah, that's
one
a
in
good
10,000, one in 482.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There would be a number. They always
that's
say
like the other vaccine.
Like, how do you watch
like,
out for
extremely rare?
Yeah.
Like,
how do you look out for a rare anything? You know, it's not a science term. And all these people like Senator Tina Smith. Oh, no, but the science. I swear they're brain damaged.
I really do think that's what we're working with here.
Yeah,
I think something's really wrong.
I agree. So Kelly Means wrote this in. This is a comment under Tina Smith saying,
All right. Kelly says, it's hard to be shocked, but this is one of the most jaw-dropping statements a modern senator has ever made. We have a mental health catastrophe, and you're worried that Bobby is being too hard on SSRIs, which have been a catastrophic failure as a catch-all treatment for depression. The current standard of care for depression should be urgently studied.
Yeah, and maybe we should also look at the causes of depression, because there's two types of things out there, right?
Yeah.
Depression, which can be situational or chemical, right? Mm-hmm. My dad died, or I do have an imbalance. But we also have this other thing that you and I have talked about extensively, which is the idea of demoralization.
Yeah.
Which is totally different. That's a psycho-spiritual, my cognitive map and reality aren't lining up, yep. Right?
And for good reason.
And you
it's not maladaptive. It's actually a normal, an appropriate response to a really messed up world.
It's actually a realistic response. In fact, the smarter you are, the more intelligent you are, the more likely you are to suffer from demoralization, because you add it up, right? Let's say you're a really smart 13-year-old, and you're like
2 + 2 = 5.
My teachers are telling me I have to be this way and get this and do this and live into this world, but at the same time, they're also telling me the world's about to burn because of climate change, and also I shouldn't know what my gender is. And oh, by the way, the story is wrong. You realize the narrative you're being fed about who you are as a people, as a nation, is wrong. Mm-hmm. That's a demoralizing moment mm-hmm. right there, right? So at any rate, but you can't treat that with pills.
No.
The problem is you have a lifestyle that's wrong. So we might want to look at other things like you care about a lot, which is what's the impact of our phones on our mental health?
How much do we find ourselves turning to our phones? Do they go to the bathroom with us? Do they spend every waking moment with us? Do we ever put them down just to be present with those around us? Or is it just easier to pick them up? And I am constantly asking myself those questions because I don't trust that technology. I think they actually have hijacked our brains. And unfortunately, we won't find out until it's too late.
So the pills sort of attempt to treat symptoms. And what we're describing here is that there's a root cause analysis we should probably get down to. If people lack lives of meaning and purpose, let's not take a pill for that, because you can't.
That's right.
Let's find a way to engage with life in a meaningful way. All right.
And some of these make work jobs probably aren't exactly giving people a sense of actually doing something important. And they know that deep down. They can feel it, right?
Justin Garson has psychiatry's 3-step formula.
Find someone in crisis, number one. Number two, convince them it's a terrible illness and give them pills. Number three, when the debilitating side effects hit, give them more pills. That's exactly how it works, actually. I can attest to that.
You've been through that ringer.
I have been through that ringer, and it was awful. I had a parent die. I had a lot of things going on that were really difficult, and I was having anxiety and was obviously very sad. And I got put on SSRIs and also a benzodiazepine. And it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea at the time what I was trading either.
We're going to have a whole episode on that.
Yeah, we will.
We should talk with Laura Delano about that, because she had a book coming out. And so it's really astonishing.
Yeah. It's a huge problem.
But
I have hope. Okay. So I don't know if we're getting to the end of this here. Is it time for hope yet?
No. Well, you could, but we have a little more to go.
All right.
We have to talk about J.D. Vance's Europe speech. I can't not talk about that.
We'll get to hope later.
Well, that's fine. That is a hopeful thing. But
you keep on.
Let's put this
hold
in.
That.
Let's put this on hold for just a minute. And we'll have a whole episode on it because it's that important. All right. So I want to talk about J.D. Vance's Europe speech. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's everywhere. It's about 18 minutes long. He just dropped huge truth bombs. We don't have time to play that whole thing. It was delivered confidently, presidentially.
Tim
Walz couldn't have done it. Let me just put it that way.
Nope. I don't think so.
Could not have done it. Kurt Malberg has a really nice thread. I have a link to it next, but you can find him at K_Malberg.
Oh, I saw
Malberg.
That same tweet.
And
that's a good one.
It was pure fire. Elites haven't copped such a hiding since Ricky Gervais embarrassed Hollywood. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the best ever when he was asked to speak at, what was it, like the Grammys or something?
Yeah.
And he just roasts everybody sitting there and is like, oh, look at you. How can you point fingers? I mean, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Look, I didn't have time, Evie, to come up with. We'll look at a couple of the quotes, but I did find a summary of, I think this is, that's it.
That's what he did. Are you having too much fun with AI these days?
I am having too much fun with AI these days.
Look at you.
It's good stuff.
When I don't see my husband, that's what he's up to.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at that top quote.
The threat, Kurt Malberg says.
Not Kurt. This is a quote from JD.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay. JD said, the threat that I worry the most about vis-a-vis Europe is not Russia. It's not China. It's not any other external factor.
Actor.
What I worry about is the threat from within, the retreat of Europe from some of its most fundamental values.
He just looks out over the sea of assembled dignitaries, and he's just like, it's not Putin.
It's beautiful.
It's an internal.
And he's not ashamed at all to say it, which is what's awesome.
No, I worry that it's the threat is from internal internal.
So good. And then he goes on to say, for years, we've been told that everything we fund and support is in the name of our shared democratic values. Everything from our Ukraine policy to digital censorship is billed as a defense of democracy. But when we see European courts canceling elections and senior officials threatening to cancel others, we ought to ask whether we're holding ourselves to an appropriately high standard.
That's the very definition of a rhetorical question.
Yes. He goes on to say, we must do more than talk about democratic values. We must live them. And finally, unfortunately, when I look at Europe today, it's sometimes not so clear what happened to some of the Cold War's winners. Ouch.
Ooh. Ooh.
He's just calling it like it is.
It was astonishing. And I wish I'd had time. I didn't have time to really just pull all those clips and play them to have him in his own voice. But man, he just delivered it.
Yeah.
Dead eye.
It was worth it.
Super cool.
To listen.
And by the way, so these are the headlines you have to put up with. Hundreds charged with online speech crimes under Orwellian crackdown. Almost 300 people fall foul of new laws as J.D. Vance claims free speech in Britain under threat.
Really?
I'd say it's more than a claim. Like, it's just such a funny headline. It's like, well, he's claiming these people are free speech victims. But hundreds were charged with online speech crimes. Did you know this? Did you know that in Russia, about 400 people, I think, had been charged with sort of like, you know, saying shit you shouldn't online during a period of time when 4,000 were charged in Great Britain?
No.
Yeah. It's not even close.
Wow.
Yeah. It is not even close.
All right. I got to get this cat.
Okay.
She's driving me bananas.
So he said here, too many of us on the other side of the Atlantic, it looks more and more like old entrenched interests hiding out behind ugly Soviet era words like misinformation and disinformation, who simply don't like the idea that somebody with an alternative viewpoint might express a different opinion or, God forbid, vote a different way, or even worse, win an election. It's astonishing that he said this. Okay. So. He says all this stuff, right? You can read the other parts down there. They're just great. Watch the whole 18 minutes. It's amazing. All right. But then there's some on the left who have not gotten the memo yet. And you're going to want your earpiece in for this next one.
Oh, sure.
There's some people on the left who have not gotten the memo that it's a whole new world, that the new sheriff's in town, that we're sick and tired of their gaslighting and insanity. And one of them is Representative Jason Crow, who seems to have taken it upon himself to go and carve out his own foreign policy agenda. Let's listen in real quick here. You got your piece in. Listen to this.
Alex, the Trump administration's policies are changing not by the day, but by the hour. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that they have no policy. There's no doctrine. There's no policy. They'll put out a tweet, then they'll pull it back an hour or two later. The problem with that is that, you know, none of this is funny. None of this is comical because it has really real consequences to our partnership, to our allies. You know, I am here in Munich because I refuse to let Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Secretary Hegseth and others be the voice of America to Europe and to the world. There is a group of us here that are.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What did he say? I refuse.
Like, not my president.
Pete Hegseth and the president be the voice of America. I refuse. I don't accept that. Because I'm a congressman from Colorado. Oh, my God.
Can he say that?
I think he's actually in violation of the Logan Act under this. People are not allowed to go out and conduct foreign policy on their own.
Ooh.
But that hasn't really been enforced in a while.
Engage in discussions to let them know that there's a lot of people in America who understand that our economy is tied to Europe, that our peace and prosperity is tied to Europe, and that we can't pull back into our own borders and forget what's going on.
Wow. See, this is what most people are hearing, right? If they're watching CNN, MSNBC, this is all they're getting. This is what they think the narrative is. This is what they think everybody else thinks too. That's what is scary about the power that the mainstream media still has.
I find this astonishing. I really do.
Yeah.
That this gentleman here feels confident that he can just go out and say, you know what? I don't agree with the president.
And on news. Not even just like in his own personal vlog.
I'm just some random dude from Colorado. I feel in my oats because I'm a congressman. So I'm going to go let our European allies know that I don't agree with Trump and Pete Hegseth and all that stuff because I'm from Colorado.
That makes us look so stupid as a country. Isn't that just so undermining and gross?
It's pretty bad. So, by the way, he's from the 6th District, which, if I get my laser pointer thing, is this little thing. It's just a little part of Denver. That's him. That's him right there.
Oh,
that's the guy who knows more about foreign policy. Dead center of the country from a super blue part of the country. He's got it down. He wants our European partners to know. We're not all.
Not my president.
Not my president.
Do you remember that?
You do not conduct foreign policy as a congressman. You just don't do it. It's just anyway. Hey, I got to move on to this because we're coming in. But
yeah,
Zelensky.
All right.
On February 14th, tweeted that.
So Zelensky said, last night, a Russian attack drone with a high explosive warhead struck the shelter, protecting the world from radiation at the destroyed fourth power unit of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. The shelter was built by Ukraine together with other countries.
Yeah.
Wow.
So as I tweeted out right away, I was like, yeah, right. Nobody believes you, right? No, it's desperate. It's a Ukrainian false flag, 100%.
Wow.
Because that's the damage you can see in this right here. I'm just gonna stupid cat. It's always on the wrong side of the door. Our cat is Schrodinger's cat. It's always on the wrong side of the door.
Grab her.
You gonna let her out again?
No, I'm just gonna.
Okay, so the idea that this is Russia seriously trying to blow up the containment dome on the Chernobyl reactor is a stupid idea. If Russia wanted to bomb it, it would be smithereens and it would have been rubbleized because they would have used, I don't know, the equivalent of a giant airborne munition or a missile or something, not an attack drone. So this is the tiny dancer. That's what people call Zelensky.
Is that what they call him?
Yeah. Because, you know, they got a lot of he was on these little game shows. Like, this is like literally this is a game show. It had like this like cheesy little like lights, you know, that you might have had in your junior high. Like, if you couldn't afford a good one, like it's
embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
The internet's forever.
But he's trying to drag people. He's trying to drag more money in. He's trying to get Europe involved. And now Europe has just been dissed, they feel. So the level of. So the Germans were very offended by J.D. Vance, and he shouldn't have said what he said. And so they're trying to, you know, and then Trump came out and said, yeah, I just called Putin up and we're going to get this thing worked out and stop the war, which is what I voted for, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Europe's offended that they're not at the table. And my position would be the same as I think what Trump's might be, which is like, well, you had 3 years to get the table set and do something about it. And you didn't. So now we're doing something about it. You're like, oh, I need to
not
be there.
That.
I need to be there too. Right. But I'll be very glad to see this over because, you know, remember we were this close to nuclear war. Remember, I had to send out alerts and warnings to people because the signs weren't good. And there were we had all these people at Peak Prosperity tracking all the E4s and the mobile warning systems. And we had both our doomsday planes in the air at one time. And it's like, that's under because Biden, we don't even know who was running the program at that point. It wasn't Biden, but somebody wanted to try and get us into war. And they authorized sending long range missiles into Russia. That's what we were living under coming into August, September, Trump. October, November, and then even afterwards in December, right? So it got really dicey. Mm-hmm. And so Trump is coming in and say, yeah, enough of that. So he calls Putin up and they're going to get it worked out. What's interesting is this, which is that Josh Philip Fair, who actually is the CEO of Scottsdale Mint, I'm hoping to get him on the program to talk about gold. He says Zelensky is now calling for the creation of an army of Europe. So Macron called
that.
Yeah, an emergency meeting this weekend. So Europe needs to get involved. I'm really worried, Evie. This means Europe is going to say, maybe we should go blow some stuff up. We're going to recover our national pride by something.
How can they? I mean, isn't the U.S. essentially like covering everybody's military needs? Like we're basically sponsoring so much of what's going on around the world, including like taking care of security issues for Europe, most of Europe. No.
Yep.
So how could they completely diss us and just go over our heads and call emergency meetings? I mean, I guess they could, but is it in their best interest, really?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
He's reporting here, was just talking a few days ago, that many European nations were wanting an expanded kinetic war with Russia to smooth over, hide from their economic issues, political issues. Europe is a basket case right now. I really feel bad for what's going to happen over there because they are being led into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really are being led so poorly. And what's fascinating, Evie, was somebody pointed out that, you know, J.D. Vance actually grew up poor in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
With a single mom, right?
Yep. And rose all the way to VP-ness. And the point was, how many people in Brussels have that same arc of a story? And the answer is a lot of them come from sort of their aristocracy. And, you know, you have to sort of be born into the upper crust to sort of rise to the upper crust. You know, the point being that when you just select from a few people, you don't get your best and brightest.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. So one last thing to report on here.
All right. Then we talk about hope.
Then hope. Well, this is hopeful. Look at this. You going to read that or you're...
Yeah. Donald. Well, is this him?
Yes.
By the way,
yep.
For sure?
Yep.
Or is he's making these posts or somebody
else copies
on his team?
It over, but this was... Okay. I found it on Truth Social, and this is a true...
Okay. Trump says, on trade, I have decided for purposes of fairness that I will charge a reciprocal tariff, meaning whatever countries charge the United States of America, we will charge them. No more, no less.
How can you argue with that? All these people, tariffs are going to lower. Listen, if Mexico wants a 30% tariff, they get a 30% tariff. It's not hard. It's just fairness, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So I totally support that. But by the way, it's been nothing but a nonstop, like every day. There's like more stuff. I got way more stuff to talk about than this. By the way, I have a new feature for my subscribers over at Peak Prosperity, which is called the Fat Pipe, where I take a lot of the things I'm finding and I just put them over there so we can find that. I always do big reports on Monday and Friday. Last Friday's was talking about this, which is I believe that there was a secret plan here, which is going to involve gold. I think we're coming into a new money system. I think it's going to take a few years to resolve, but this is big. If you can pre-position for that, it's going to have huge impacts for your business, for your finances, how you protect your wealth, all of that.
Do you and Paul at Kiker Wealth talk about that?
We do. And we're going to keep talking about that. This is going to be one of the biggest realignments economically ever. So that comes with risks. It comes with opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to need to talk about all of that. And of course, we're going to have to keep surfing this. We're on an avalanche, like mountains and decades of corruption are falling away. And the point of being on an avalanche is to stay on the surface. So that's a lot of active kicking and swimming and doing your best to stay ahead. I think that information is the most important tool you have. And so that's why I spend all my time trying to condense that into this, the Signal Hour, but then all the work I do at Peak Prosperity as well for subscribers. And I invite everybody to come and check that out.
And so, there's a whole community of people there. It's not just more of Chris, which isn't bad, of course.
No, can't get too much of that.
But it's actually a whole handful of other people who are dedicated to thinking critically about all of these issues and, you know, forming connections with each other and alliances. And there's so many friendships and relationships that have come from that, from this website that we host. So please feel free to wander over there if you're feeling alone, feeling like the world around you is going totally nuts and you need a place where you can speak your mind and not worry about censorship or anything else. That's why it's behind the paywall, because we need to be able to do that in privacy at this time in history.
The censorship is still real.
It is still real.
I believe in freedom of speech, which means we need to feel free to speak our minds.
That's right.
And not everybody's comfortable speaking their mind yet out in public, because there have been real costs. And so some of those costs, Evie, to be clear, are going to include within family structures, right? So if a lot of people who come to our website and participate, if their families knew what they were saying and thinking, or their colleagues.
Yeah.
We have a lot of refugees from the university systems, which I think are going to take 80 to 100 years to fix, because they've been shot through with this Marxist, socialist, totalitarian thinking, which is
They have
very, very difficult. So, Evie, bring it home.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, I found a thing to read. So I'm always kind of trying to find what distill things down to the most meaningful place. How can we wrap our minds and hearts around this? Because it's not just data. I mean, it is, but it's also an emotional adjustment for all of us as individuals, and to wrestle with this information with all these changes in our, you know, our world, and ever increasingly so, we're faced with having to extrapolate what this means for us and those we love. And it can be a scary time, like Chris said. It can also be an opportunity if you are skating to the puck and ready to meet those challenges. But one of the things I like to do is try to find where my heart is in all of this, and take a deep breath and sort of ground myself too, because as much as it can be disorienting to be within this flood of information, there's also something core that remains no matter who it is or where we are in time or history. We're all human beings. We all have a soft heart and an even softer body. And we, I think we need to find out what we have in common with each other. And so I try to find little poems and things that inspire me to remember what's truly important at the end of the day, which for me and for Chris too is love, and, you know, being loving to our each other. I'm looking at the camera. Stop pointing at it. What? No, I'm looking. Anyway, I'm going to read this. It says, it's by, I don't know how to say this, Dogen, D-O-G-E-N. How would you say that?
Dogen.
But it has has something over the O. Dogen. When the truth doesn't fill our body and mind, we think we have had enough. When the truth fills our body and mind, we realize that something is missing. For example, when we look at the ocean from a boat with no land in sight, it seems circular and nothing else. But the ocean is neither round nor square, and its features are infinite in variety. It is like a palace. It is like a jewel. Only to our eyes, only for the moment, does it seem circular. All things are like this. Although there are numberless aspects to all things, we see only as far as our vision can reach. And in our vision of all things, we must appreciate that although they may look round or square, the other aspects of oceans or mountains are infinite in variety, and that universes lie all around us. It is like this everywhere, right here in the tiniest drop of water.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, Evie. And thank you, everybody, for being here. Remember, the normal signal hour is on Wednesday at 1 p.m. every week, but sometimes we've been doing a few more as situations warrant, and today warranted one. So this is our Sunday signal hour. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And
thanks for spending your afternoon with us.
Thanks.
Take good care of yourselves.
Hope you got something from that. It's been a real pleasure, and we're all in this together, and the revolution is on. And I couldn't be more excited about that. So Any last word there, Evie?
Nope.
All right.
Till next time.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. And thanks for being here. And it's been absolutely wonderful. We'll do it again.